Look what I did to this city.
When I signed LeBron James in free agency, but I didn't get anyone else to really help him.
Hmm? You know what I noticed? Nobody panics when things go according to plan. Even if the plan is horrifying. If tomorrow I tell the press that
I traded for Reggie Bullock.
Nobody panics. Because it's all part of the plan. But when I say that
I couldn't secure a deal for Anthony Davis before the trade deadline, and now I'm gonna have to try to get him in the offseason while competing with the assets of the Boston Celtics.
Well, then everyone loses their minds!
That's right, folks. Everyone has officially lost their mind because the trade deadline has finished. This is an emergency basketball podcast where we are going to review the trade deadline. And before we get into it, I just want to preface, we're not going to go through every single trade because 99% of these trades we don't care about. I am obligated to my loyal listeners to at least mention all of the trades. But we're only going to talk about the trades that really matter. So stick around. It's going to be a great podcast where we talk about the aftermath of the trade deadline. You're listening to the Basketball Podcast. Folks, the trade deadline is officially over. And wow, there were quite a few trades. The last podcast that I did was an emergency basketball podcast discussing the Kristaps Porzingis trade. If you haven't yet listened to it, I strongly encourage you to listen to that podcast before this one so that you're all caught up on all of the different trade news. We're going to start with the trade that happened right after that Porzingis trade. And again, what I want to do is go through each trade and just give my own perspective on the trades. Here's the trade that took place right after the Porzingis trade. Blazers acquire Rodney Hood from the Cavaliers. The Trailblazers got Rodney Hood, and the Cavaliers got Wayne Baldwin IV, Nick Stauskas, a 2021 second-round pick, and a 2023 second-round pick. Folks, let me tell you, this trade is the least important trade. I don't care about this trade. This is boring. This is fake news. I don't care about it. Rodney Hood, yes, Rodney Hood, the same guy that was traded from the Utah Jazz for Jay Crowder and then laid an absolute egg with the Cavs for basically the past season. Yes, he was traded, and apparently he's the missing piece for the Portland Trailblazers. I give both teams an F- for this because they both wasted my time with this news. Next trade. This is brilliant. The Lakers finally did it, folks. They made a splash at the trade deadline. They got their man. They got Anthony. It's Reggie Bullock. They got Reggie Bullock for a dude whose name I'm not going to pronounce because I genuinely don't know how to pronounce it. Mikhailuk. I know his last name is Mikhailuk. Siv Mikhailuk. He played for Kansas. He was okay at Kansas. He hasn't really done anything for the Lakers. And the Pistons also got a 2021 second-round pick. So, good for you, Lakers. Again, another F- because I don't care. Why? Why? If you're the Lakers, why? Is Reggie Bullock, again, the missing piece? Wasting my time. I give both teams an F-. And let me just preface this. There's only two types of trades in the NBA. There's the trade where someone is a clear winner and someone is a clear loser. Or there's the trade where both teams wasted my time. And so far, the last two trades, both teams have wasted my time. Here's an important one. Clippers agree to trade Tobias Harris to 76ers. I'm going to save that one for the end. I'm going to save that one for the end because that's one of the only ones that's really even worth talking about. Here's another one. Pistons agree to trade Stanley Johnson to the Bucks for Thon Maker. The Bucks get Stanley Johnson, and Detroit gets Thon Maker. Cool. Next trade. The Heat agree to trade Tyler Johnson to the Suns. The Suns get Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington. The Heat get Ryan Anderson. This is an actual trade where I can say there's a win-loss here. The Heat won this trade because they got rid of contracts and they're going to cut Ryan Anderson next year. They're going to waive him. They might even waive him this year, to be honest. and they're going to dump some salary. Their luxury tax bill goes down like $10 million bucks, and salary for next year goes down a little bit too. Maybe they can use that to re-sign some of their young guys that, you know, Winslow or Josh Richardson's already under contract. Either way, Miami, you dump some salary. You're a very mediocre team, and Tyler Johnson is a very mediocre player. If you're the Suns, why? Is Tyler Johnson important enough that you're going to pay this money for him? The only notable thing here, to be honest, is that Wayne Ellington will get bought out and will join a team to make a playoff run. That's about it. And Wayne Ellington's a good three-point shooter. So, there you go. Look for him to be a buyout candidate. Here's a trade that I'm honestly disappointed that I even have to mention this. It's ridiculous. The Wizards trade Otto Porter Jr. to the Bulls. The Bulls get Otto Porter Jr., and the Wizards get Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a 2023 second-round pick. I am at a loss for words. It's, again, a trade that I just don't care about. I don't care about any of these guys. Otto Porter was signed to a bad contract. He had one decent year in the NBA. Decent. He had a career year last year, and we've seen time and time again when you sign a guy who is not produced in the NBA until his contract year, you sign him to a big deal, he's probably not going to live up to those expectations. And, of course, Exhibit A, Otto Porter Jr. The Bulls, I don't know why are you taking on this contract long term? Especially a team like you, you're trying to get worse. Aren't you? Aren't you trying to be bad? Are you really trying to build with the players that you have right now? Because you just gave up Bobby Portis, and he's a half-decent player for your team. For the Wizards, I'm assuming this was a salary dump, considering that the news that John Wall ruptured his Achilles and is out 15 months or whatever it is. Which, let's talk about that just for a minute. Are we certain that John Wall really fell in his house? My theory is that John Wall was boogie boarding down his stairs. That's my theory. I don't know how he would rupture his Achilles doing that, but that's my theory as to what happened. So again, this trade, Otto Porter Jr. was traded to the Wizards. I'm sorry, Otto Porter Jr. was traded to the Bulls. The Wizards get Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a 2023 second-round pick. Assuming it's, again, cap saving for the Wizards, for the Bulls, I'm at a loss for words of what and why. This is another trade that I'm incredibly, oh my gosh, all of these trades. Listen, basically my consensus, high-level consensus is there was a lot that happened, and I don't see any importance in any of it, except for possibly, this one isn't as bad as the other ones. So there's a three-team trade. The Kings sent Iman Shumpert to the Rockets. That was the most notable acquisition. So the Houston Rockets get Shumpert, Nick Stauskas, who was traded from the Trailblazers to the Cavs in the Rodney Hood trade, if you're tracking, as well as Wayne Bolden, the other culprit, the other victim of this trade. Those three are going to the Rockets. The Cavs are going to get Brandon Knight from the Rockets and Marquise Chris from the Rockets, as well as a 2019 lottery-protected first-round pick that I believe is coming from the Kings. And then the Sacramento Kings get Alec Burks and a second-round pick. Folks, this is another trade that I'm just kind of indifferent about. It's a three-team trade where I don't think any team really gets better. I don't think any team really gets worse. I'm just like, okay, it's just people swapping players. Great. Great. Thanks. Thank you, NBA. Next trade. Kings get Barnes from Mavericks. The Mavericks get Zach Randolph and Justin Jackson, and the Kings get Harrison Barnes. My assumption is that this is cap saving for the Mavs. I like this trade for the Kings. It gets them a quality small forward, which I think they've been lacking. Justin Jackson is an okay player. He hasn't been playing poorly for the Kings. He hasn't been getting a ton of minutes, but I like this move for the Kings, and I like this move for the Mavs. It allows the Mavs to move on from a player that they've had for a few years that has been decent for them, but he's not part of their long-term plans. And it gives Harrison Barnes an opportunity at a fresh start in a Kings team that's potentially going to be playoff bound. So I actually like this trade. I give both teams here, I give A pluses. Congratulations. I'm okay with this trade. The only thing about this trade that was kind of sad is that Harrison Barnes learned about it in the third quarter of a game in which he was playing last night for the Mavericks. And he's a stand-up guy. He stayed on the bench and cheered his teammates on. Kudos to him for taking it in stride. Very, very admirable of him. Another trade. Now we're back to the ones that I just don't care about. The Wizards sent Markieff Morris to the Pelicans for Wesley Johnson. Yes, you heard that right. The Pelicans get Markieff Morris and a 2023 second-round pick for Wesley Johnson. Great. The Rockets sent James Ennis to the 76ers for future second-round swap rights. Next trade. This one is building off of the previous one that I had said. I should have just referenced this one. So, as part of the original Thonmaker Stanley Johnson trade, the Pelicans got involved also. So, let me just take a step back. This is what the trade really is that involves Stanley Johnson and Thonmaker earlier. The Milwaukee Bucks are getting Nikola Mirotic. The Pelicans are getting Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, Denver's 2019 second-round pick, Washington's 2020 and 2021 second-round picks, and Milwaukee's 2020 second-round pick, and then the Pistons get Thonmaker. I don't know why. I guess the Pistons are okay getting rid of Stanley Johnson for Thonmaker. I don't know what the swap there is, to be honest. Like, why? I guess they're just ready to move on from Stanley Johnson. I like the trade for the Bucks because they give up a ton of picks and they get rid of the Jason Smith contract, and it gets them a rotation player that can stretch the floor. This is a team that's pursuing a championship. This is a quality piece to add where you're not really giving up much except for future draft compensation in the second round that you aren't going to see as of value. Draft picks, definitely, especially second round draft picks, aren't of value to playoff championship aspiring teams. So I like it for them, and I like it for the Pelicans because it gives you a ton of second round picks that you can just take some guesses on. And then it gets you Stanley Johnson, who's a young small forward that you might be able to sign to a decent contract moving forward. You might be able to get him for a decent contract. Yeah, we need you for a couple of years as we continue to tank. Or maybe they see some potential in him. He hasn't really developed into the 3-and-D type player that he was supposed to be, but he plays okay defense. He could be an okay asset for a poor team like them. Another big trade. This is a significant one. I'll spend a little bit of time really actually going through this one. So the Grizzlies have agreed to trade Marc Gasol to the Raptors. The Raptors are getting Marc Gasol. The Grizzlies are getting Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick. I'm a little surprised that this is what Memphis got back for Marc Gasol, especially there was a whole bunch of discussions of with Charlotte, potentially a deal for Charlotte. I like the players in this deal for the Grizzlies better than anything that they would have gotten from Charlotte because Charlotte doesn't have quality players that they're going to get back. But I would have expected Memphis to be pursuing future draft compensation. So for them to be getting back, like CJ Miles is expendable. They'll probably waive him, to be honest. Valanciunas is a fine starting center that will help fill a gap for them if they want him to do that, if they need him for that. DeLon Wright's been a good point guard for the Raptors for the last year. I don't know how he's going to do for the Grizzlies, to be honest. It's another one of those guys that fits well into his system. Again, he's played pretty well the last year. I'd like to see how he does with the Grizzlies. They get a decently young asset, but again, this doesn't feel like enough for Marc Gasol. For the Raptors, this is a huge win for them. Honestly, it's a win for them. If I'm giving out grades, I think the Grizzlies lost this. I give them the F-, and I give the Raptors the A+. You turned Valanciunas, your backup point guard, CJ Miles, who rarely plays, and a 2024 second-round pick into Marc Gasol for the playoffs this year. And maybe, who knows, maybe you get a chance to re-sign him in the offseason, depending on how you do. And maybe you can get him for cheap. I don't know. I like the risk. I like the gamble. This is the type of gamble that I like for a team. They're obviously improving in the short term and improving a position where they definitely needed some help. And the other part of this, Marc Gasol is such, he's great with distributing the basketball, and it's going to work so well for this Raptors team. Again, Raptors, you win this trade. And the final trade, and this is where we're going to get into a bit of a different discussion. The 76ers trade former number one pick Markelle Fultz to the Orlando Magic. So the Magic get Fultz. The 76ers get Jonathan Simmons, a first-round pick from Oklahoma City, and a second-round pick. Markelle Fultz has been a he's not played, basically, for the last year and a half. He's had some odd issues. We don't know if it's his mentality. We don't know if mentally he's just not there in terms of his confidence. We don't know if physically he really truly is hurt. There's a whole lot of odd mystery around his rookie season. He came back, played a few games, didn't really play much in the playoffs. Played a little bit this year and couldn't shoot the ball. And so then, of course, he shut himself down based on advice from his agent and started to seek some therapy for a nerve condition. With all of that said, it still doesn't feel like enough for a first-round pick from just a year ago. I know he hasn't played. There's such tremendous upside, though, if he does get healthy and if he does play, and if it truly only is a nerve syndrome that he's able to rehabilitate. The return that you're getting, Jonathan Simmons and a terrible first-round pick and a second-round pick, it just doesn't feel like enough. And so with all of that said, we didn't even go into the Tobias Harris trade. For the 76ers, and specifically the moves that they've made, honestly, this whole season, I had to prepare. Let me preface. The basketball podcast, everything that I say is just genuine. I don't do a whole lot of research ahead of time in terms of like preparing statistics and numbers and all that garbage. I don't care about that. That's not what we're here for. Obviously, I just went through like seven picks and sighed every time, or seven trades and I sighed every time that I read them because that stuff's boring. I don't want to get bogged down in analytics. I don't want to get bogged down in stats. I don't want to talk about the same stuff that everyone else talks about. If Bill Simmons has said it, fine, let Bill Simmons say it. Let me say something different. And with that said, I've had a very hard time. I've recorded this particular segment too many times already. And so I had to genuinely write down my thoughts. And like I said, the basketball podcast, we try to keep everything genuine. I try to just speak, not do too much work to prepare, as you can probably tell. I probably spend more time on my intros than I do my actual content. But regardless, in this segment, I had to actually write my words down because I just have too many thoughts about the Philadelphia 76ers. So here it is. And it's a little dramatic, so bear with me. This is how I'm thinking about the moves that the 76ers have made in the last 48 hours near the trade deadline. Here we go. There are few words more symbolic in today's NBA than trust the process. The words bring to mind trying times for the Philadelphia 76ers franchise, but also times of fondness and optimism. The mastermind behind the process, Sam Hinkie, rest in peace, spent years collecting the young assets required to build a perennial contender. Some of said assets were acquired with questionable motive. Yes, 23-year-old All-Star Drew Holiday was traded for an injured Nerlens Noel on draft night, who sat out that whole year, and that team went like 19 and 60-something. That's tanking 101. But the direction of the franchise was clear. The team that had been built previously, before Hinkie's regime, was not a contender. And rather than Hinkie continuing to play with the mediocre roster that he had, he cleared the table and started over. The risk, of course, was evident. You never truly know what draft pick you'll get, which place it'll fall. And then you never truly know how the player will pan out that you draft. Exhibit A, Anthony Bennett. Exhibit B, Markelle Fultz. We'll get to that in a minute. You never know how the fans will react to your decision. Will anyone come to the games? The risk is evident, but the opportunity, of course, is significant. building a team from scratch, a handcrafted team, instilling a culture and a chemistry and a vision from day one can be bountiful in rewards. Exhibit A, the Warriors. Exhibit B, the San Antonio Spurs from 1998 to 2014, etc. In the same day and age that LeBron James built a super team and declared multiple championships for the Miami Heat. Shout out Miami Heat fans. I'm going to pour one out for you on draft night 2021. In that same day and age that LeBron James built that super team, Sam Hinkie shifted his focus to the future. He didn't look at the present day NBA. He knew that he had to hedge his bets on the future versus the present. The payout so far has been pretty rewarding. Not all the draft picks have reached their full potential, but Philly clearly won with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, you can even argue Dario Saric. Even in the absence of a true GM this past offseason, they acquired some assets for the future. The pick that they made draft night that they then traded for Zaire Smith, who hurt his foot in the offseason, and the unprotected 2021 Miami Heat pick, that was a great move. That pick is probably the second most valuable pick in the NBA today, aside from New York's number one overall pick. I'm getting off script. Get back to the script. Even in the absence of a true GM this offseason, the team was still able to acquire assets for the future, continuing to patiently and diligently plan out their roadmap. The future was bright, the dynasty was beginning, and the Philadelphia 76ers were promising with a young core to build around. The process was continued to be trusted. But then, just as quickly as Jerry Colangelo's wife could tweet out confidential medical information from a burner Twitter account, so too did the bright future of the Philadelphia 76ers process come to an abrupt end. For the 76ers hired former NBA journeyman Elton Brand, who must be unfamiliar with trusting the process, and honestly even the current landscape of the NBA. Elton Brand has clearly demonstrated from day one that there is no longer a process in which to put your trust. Rather than tweaking and fine-tuning the roster and assets presently available to him to continue to diligently pursue the NBA dynasty and wait for their time, he sacrificed it all. He sacrificed the future for short-term gratification. Dario Saric and Robert Covington were thrown to the wolves, pun intended, in exchange for Jimmy Butler, who is on an expiring contract. Technically, it's a player option, but he's going to test free agency, as does everyone with a player option. The only people that take player options are the dudes that tear their Achilles boogie boarding down the stairs. Traded for Jimmy Butler. But Elton Brand didn't stop there. Not only did he trade for Jimmy Butler on an expiring contract, but now he's traded three additional rotation players, and an invaluable draft pick, the 2021 unprotected Miami Heat pick. He's traded all of that to acquire zero-time All-Star Tobias Harris, who is also on an expiring contract, an actual expiring contract. And he didn't stop there. He traded former number one overall pick and current number one NBA basket case, Markelle Fultz, for an open bag of peanuts. More specifically, he traded Markelle Fultz for 29-year-old Jonathan Simmons, who shoots 31% for his career from three, 22% from three this year, and a couple of throwaway draft picks, the first-round Oklahoma City pick, and a future second-rounder. To be fair, I'm not as surprised by Elton Brand's willingness on trading away a bust of a number one overall pick, because Elton Brand knows a thing or two about not living up to NBA potential. Elton Brand has traded away young assets to acquire talent to compete this year. Not next year, not for the future, this year. Because the two players he's traded for are on expiring contracts. He's risking it all so that he can have quote-unquote superstars for this year. He's doubled down on this year. Yes, this year. The same year that the 76ers currently sit fifth in the East before the All-Star break. The same year that the Warriors dynasty added a Hall of Fame center. Yes, DeMarcus Cousins will be a Hall of Fame center. They added a Hall of Fame center in the offseason, and they look absolutely unstoppable. It's the same year that Giannis has had his coming out party. It's the same year that James Harden has scored 30 points in a row, like 29 times right now. I don't even know what it's at. He's decided, Elton Brand has decided, it's not worth it to hang on to his young core, to continue to make calculated, smart decisions, and to build for the future, to wait for his time, to wait for this Warriors dynasty to ride off into the sunset, to see where Kevin Durant goes this year, to see if Klay Thompson goes somewhere else, to see if the Warriors have to blow it up, to see if an opening appears, to see if the shield begins to crack on the NBA's present dynasty. Instead of waiting for that, he's decided to today build an above-average team of above-average overpaid stars and sacrifice longevity and sustainability. Folks, there's a reason Tobias Harris has never been an All-Star. There's a reason the past two teams to hold Jimmy Butler's contract were sellers. Mediocrity was previously best defined as being of average quality and not very good. Mediocrity will now forever be defined as Elton Brand's Philadelphia 76ers. Shame on you, Elton Brand, doing the city of Philadelphia a disservice and not trusting the process.